Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's good, Internet? Welcome to E3 2017. We are here. There are people. Patrick just dropped his glasses.
Fine.
Doors just opened. It is like noon-ish.
Yeah.
We just got back from the Devolver lot. Historically, Devolver does not come to E3 so much as set up
antagonistic relationship with E3. Goes back to Gamecock, gathering developers.
Right.
If you go Dobbs' Wikipedia pages, you will see
that over Mike the years... Wilson. Into Twitter.
Careful with that one.
Not into Twitter, into Wiki. Yeah, you be careful. And so we were over there and we just saw a few things. We saw some stuff that I've wanted to see for a while.
Yeah.
Absolver was one that for a year people have been saying, you have to go see Absolver. Austin, you like Dark Souls. You like really unique art styles.
Yeah.
You have to go see Absolver.
You love martial arts.
You love martial arts. I'm a big martial arts fan.
People know that about
people,
you.
You know
top 10 things about Austin Walker. It's like,
yeah.
Martial arts.
Top 10 Austin Walker betrayals. So we saw Absolver. Absolver is a multiplayer... kind of Dark Souls-esque in terms of the combat, very lock-on, you have very, what's the word I'm looking for, just, they're not discreet, there's like a very precise action, very, every hit counts, every
animation priority, sort of like fighting stuff, but like with like a deep level of customization for like
individual
attacks, fighting stances,
yes.
Like, I think they just announced the one that we
the
played
drunken
the,
master
the drunken
style,
master style.
Right, totally. It was like very like Jackie some, Chan, like, whoa, you're getting like over here, and then like you come up with like a quick hit.
But they were like,
I'm a martial arts master.
Well, totally. Stop them. You're making me feel bad.
I beat you, so I made you feel bad earlier, too. It's a really cool game, and the thing that I like the most is this notion of customization. So a thing that I love about the Dark Souls games and games that are inspired by Dark Souls is, oh, what's this move set for this weapon?
Yes.
I learned this overhand sword, this broadsword combos versus this maces. And in this, you're developing your own. You go into a menu and build out like a set of chained hookup like commands
right.
that can flow from one stance to another
like
stance.
Maybe you start with like a high jab and then
right.
you go to like a low kick.
Right.
And you're not committed to that. You can just go in like,
and
hey, that's not working
that's not
for
working.
These enemies.
Exactly.
I'm gonna switch that up.
So like, I built one in the single player part of the demo or the kind of the guided demo that I did where it ended with this like heavy guard break kick. And it changed from that stance to a new stance. And that stance opened with a really heavy attack. So I knew they'd be guard broken by the time I got in for that next new heavy.
Yeah, it's a lot of recognizing which stance you want to be in.
Totally.
You can start in one stance and end in
yes.
another, but then you can manually switch to
totally.
Another stance.
It's very head gamesy.
And it's a lot of fists.
There's,
like you can
yes.
you can summon weapons,
there's
but those
a soul,
are like
right.
those are like special power ups.
Totally.
But it gives you like there's a durability to it,
yep.
and it makes you ultra powerful for a brief period
for like
of time.
A little bit.
But if you summon that weapon, then you can't use your other power ups,
which are things like doing an AoE like earthquake stun
or health
or healing, which
could have used some of that health.
You could have used some of that. I did use the earthquake to knock you off a
you
cliff.
Did. That was a
do you feel?
Move.
Do you feel in danger near this?
I do.
Okay. Don't. I'll try not.
Don't
to
Don't use
you.
Your area of effect.
No, I'll pull my weapon instead. it's really cool, and the art design is gorgeous. It reminds me of what's the team from South America? From Argentina, that did Xenoclash.
Oh, Ace Team.
Ace Team. They remind me vaguely of an Ace Team
but
design.
But not Masks. So much of a nightmare.
It's a
like,
little...
Ace Team seems like you went on like a bad trip.
Right,
and
this
then
is just
woke
a regular
up
trip.
In a shitty world.
Yes. It's also like a clockwork world of the Dark Souls 1 variety. See that tower in the distance. At some point, you'll wind up in that weird tower.
What I appreciate about the demo is like when I've seen trailers like this before and they pitch it like, oh, it's an online combat
right.
game. That... Like, if it's just an online combat game where I'm doing PvP all the time,
right.
that didn't sound super
no.
interesting to me. And instead, what you discover in this, like, there's checkpoints. You can go off in your own. There's sort of a story to follow.
Yep.
It's, like, pretty light.
Yep.
There is, like, direction and a context that's more than just an arena fighter. Like, if it was just an arena fighter with a lot of custom survivability, that's not enough for me.
Whereas this had the thing of, like, okay, I'm going to roll into this space, and this guy is, like, this mini-boss is here, and he's, like, way more health than most enemies, way more does way more damage. And I was playing with a co-op partner, and there's, like, a friendly fire is on. I definitely caught him with an elbow a couple times.
It was friendly fire, and then... you can, at any time, if you run into an actual other player, you can choose to cooperate with them or fight.
Right.
And you can communicate to that with, like, different gestures.
Totally.
And then also, even if you're not cooperating with someone, and, like, that's communicated in the UI. It's like, we are cooperating. Yes. We are fighting.
Right.
If you are fighting someone or you see someone in a scramble and they die, you can choose to revive them.
Totally.
Even if you're like, not cooperating with them.
Come back up. You know, that was a good duel. That was a good duel that we just had. Come back up and, like, let's work together.
Hey, don't go back to the checkpoint.
Totally.
So that was really cool. Together.
So it was Absolver.
Yep.
We also saw Minute, which is a game by a bunch of people who have good, like, they ship good
one
stuff.
One designer, Horizon Zero Dawn. Another designer that you worked with.
Ridiculous Fishing.
A lot of Ridiculous Fishing, Nuclear Throne.
Nuclear Throne also, right.
It's from a Game Jam and, like, from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was the Adventure Time Game Jam, apparently. They won a crossbow, apparently, for this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
take them at their word.
The word was from his crossbow smith.
Hey,
which I don't think that's the word for people who
go on Yelp, do some searches.
Yeah. And the thing that's cool about that is it's sort of like an adventure game that you need to find things in this open world. It's black and white, top-down view, and you go off and wander, like, okay, well, I don't have anything. And, like, you wander around, oh, you got a sword. Cool, I got the sword. And then you notice that there's been a clock ticking down the whole time. It hits zero, you die, you start back up in your house again, but now you go outside and that sword that you found before is now, like, in the inventory system,
like,
next
items,
to your...
Yeah, like, items, like, certain objectives restart that clock. And so there's a persistence, even though you're largely going up from the same area. Although, as we discovered at the end of the demo, you can then find, like, checkpoints, like, start...
You found a new house.
New starting area.
In this trailer now, instead of being in this, like, fantasy house.
It's, like, really goofy and, like, leads to a lot of improvisation and, like, guesswork.
Yeah,
and
so, like, a thing I happened to find was a gardening... what do you call those things? Like, a bucket? Like,
yeah,
a gardening bucket.
Like, a bucket with a... there's a word for that.
Pail?
No one tell us.
No one tell us. Don't tell us. We found one of those, filled it with
water.
We
dumped some water.
And we're like, okay.
You were committed to this.
I was.
You were like, hey, look at that plant. I'm going to pour some water over it.
I was like,
oh,
hey.
Well, you died again.
Maybe
just pour some more water.
So I poured more water out of my next death. I was like, huh, it grew again. But if I keep watering it, it doesn't do it. So I hit a button that's just like, just kill me again. Let me start over. Run back over, put the water in the plant. It sprouts a heart. I get extra life. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, this is a little thing that I could have not seen at all in that demo. That wasn't a necessary part of the demo, but it was a sort of, like, cool interaction that encourages you to keep retrying things. And this was just, like, really charming. The music is really quaint.
It's one of those games that when I first saw it, I was like, oh, like, another one of these, like, you know, throwback Game Boy, dithering art styles. Like, you like those games, but, like, what
but
is
also.
This? But it was, like, it actually reminded me of... I love Half Minute Hero.
Yes, totally.
So, like, this miniaturized. Like, Half Minute Hero, I didn't need 25 hours or whatever it was to beat that game.
They said 2 to 3 hours.
Like, you could
sit
down
this year.
And I bet playing with friends would be
a joy.
Like,
just like,
really
go do this bullshit. And, like, no, shut up.
Try. Like,
but the fact that you only live a minute means you're going to try it. That's the thing that I like about it. It's like, hey, I may as well try the thing with this gardening bucket. Because
it's so close, you don't feel frustrated when you start over again. It's like, let's go try and explore down around that corner.
Exactly. Last thing I saw was a game called Swords of Ditto, which is another Zelda-inspired SNES-style, Link's Awakening-style.
Okay.
I know Link's Awakening was on the Game Boy Advance, or just the Game Boy Color?
I think it was Game Boy Color Enhanced.
You're right, it was.
It got some color support. If
you land on a beach, and then you wander into a town, and it's a procedurally generated, like, Zelda-style game.
Oh, interesting.
In which... the goal is to go into a bunch of dungeons, get gadgets, which are basically, like, special items in Zelda. Like, one of them was, like, a record that you could throw, and it was, like, a boomerang. And, like, it
2D art style?
2D art style, top-down. Looks very pretty art style. Again, it has, like, an Adventure Time vibe.
Right.
Which is something to say about Devolver in general. A lot of the games we played didn't fit the traditional Devolver 80s throwback, gritty, bloody,
action,
gore,
Serious Sam,
synth-heavy. I'm glad to see them breaking out of that aesthetic. That aesthetic has served them well, but I want to see them do different stuff.
Yeah.
Publish games that don't just fit that same stereotype. And so in this, you go to the dungeon, you get the gadget, and then you finish the dungeon. Dungeons are procedurally generated. The open world is procedurally generated. And then you go to the final boss, and that requires the gadgets that you got from the dungeons that are pulled from. So the record, like, catches fire if you throw it over fire. Then the fire can hit torches which will open doors or whatever, right? And the thing that was really cool about it is, let's say you die against the last boss. it's a proc gen run based game, so there's the hero's grave is somewhere. And the next time that you start the new game, you wander into town and there's a statue of your old hero.
Oh, that's good.
And you get that person's sword.
So is it
right?
Like taking the idea of like Link is a generational hero?
Exactly.
Man,
very
so this
literally.
The world is suffering.
It's bad.
Man,
and so if you win, if you win, the world gets lighter. This is what we're told anyway. I didn't see this happen.
Oh,
but,
so it's like so you're it's like, oh, you're doing this over and over.
Yes.
You've
dealt a blow to the darkness here.
Interesting.
But you haven't won. There is going to be an end game at which you've pushed it far enough into the light and you've saved them. But it's kind of like things are going to continue to evolve. Characters who previously were too scared to come out into the world might find their way out and say, hey, can you go do this side quest for me?
That's cool.
And I'm like, okay, that's a different take on it from the Rogue Legacy style. You're just powering up. The world state is changing, and that's what you're going to go check out.
And then also, like, narratively justifies, like, why things are a little bit different
every
time.
Totally. So that's, we saw Absolver, we saw Minute, we saw Sword of Ditto. I think that's all I saw.
I saw very briefly a game whose name, unfortunately, I can't remember, but the concept is that it's a split screen and you're controlling two different sort of like shooter games at once. One is like a Galaga style, you're shooting ships that are coming in and grabbing upgrades. The other one is more of like a Geometry Wars, like you're going on this big environment. It gave me a headache.
I saw the headache develop in your head as I was watching it.
I played twice and we had to leave and I was like, I don't know if my head can take more.
I may be like, Patrick, we have to go to save you. Not to save you. That game seemed cool as hell. All right, so that's going to do it for us for this video. We'll be back. YouTube.com/waypointvice. Waypoint.vice.com, Twitter.com/waypoint, Facebook.com/waypointvice. Keep it tuned. Peace.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.